And once again, I'm going to read same passage as last week, Romans 1, verse 8 through to 17. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers. I have planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We thank God for his word, and we pray that it will speak to our hearts today. Reflecting on the theme again of salvation, what does it mean for us in a practical way in our lives? Last week, we particularly focused on this verse, or this part of verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. To be shamed is to want something to be hidden, not for everybody to know what I believe or what I've done or who I am. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm quite happy to stand before even the emperor in Rome to profess my faith and my trust in Jesus. But then there will, of course, be those who say to Paul, you should be ashamed because you worship one who was crucified. And crucifixion was the epitome of shame and humiliation. People, just as they did with Jesus, would mock those who'd been crucified, call the crucified names until they died, and then they would truly be a symbol of loss and humiliation and shame. And of course, that's one way to look at the death of Jesus, is to say, do you know what? Why do I worship somebody who died in such a shameful way? But of course, Paul stands, as it were, on the other side and says, all that's true, but here's the thing. God raised Jesus from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead, and you can call out shame all you like, but God vindicated this one. God vindicated Jesus and raised him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. So I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I don't want to keep this hidden, but also even though there's a sense in which you have a right to say, I should be ashamed, I'm not, because God raised Jesus, the one who was shamed, from dead. But Paul then says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. This good news about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, this good news about Jesus, Paul says, it is the power of God. In this gospel, there is power. In this news, to communicate this news, to hear this news, we are communicating and receiving the power of God. That is the immense, abundant love of God. Love is the greatest power. And in the gospel, we see this love that has no beginning and no end. This love that will never fail. This love that is stronger than death itself. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the power of God to transform everybody and anybody's life. It is the abundant love of God. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Everyone who trusts. Everyone who walks the way of Jesus. They experience the abundance of this love. And of course, this is not to limit this good news and say, well, this good news, you only experience it or know it, or it's only true for those who believe. It is true for everybody. But in the same way, if we want to experience the joy of relationship, I don't think you can experience the joy of relationship from outside a relationship. You have to enter in. And that is true with God. The love is all there. We just need to enter in for everyone who believes. Well, this week we're going to move on to verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That's that last quote comes from Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk. Chapter 2, I think. Now, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is believed. And I want to highlight just the word in. For in the gospel, he's already said, the Apostle Paul has already said, I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And then he says, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Really, he's encapsulating everybody in that. For in the gospel, concealed within this good news is this righteousness. It is in the gospel, he says, this righteousness from God is revealed. Now, one of the difficulties, I think, if we're honest, we all have when we first read the Bible is that the Bible writers are prone to use words that we struggle to understand. Words sometimes that ordinarily we perhaps wouldn't use. And we have here one of those words, it seems. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. And a perfectly good question is, what is righteousness? The Apostle Paul talks about righteousness throughout his letters. What is this righteousness? I'm going to put it like this, to say there are two ways to live. There's lots of ways to live, but generally there are two ways to live. On one hand, there is our way. This is going to be our way to live. Okay. And this is going to be God's way. Don't feel smug, that's just how it is. There is two ways to live, essentially. There's our way to live and there's God's way to live. What is our way to live? However, I put this, I'm going to sum it up just in three ways. Sometimes our way of living is good. Sometimes it is bad. And sometimes it is different. I think that is the truth about the way we live, and our way of living. If we got advice from psychologists, say, and sociologists, and say, how is a good way to live? Well, some of it is good. Some of it is bad. Some of it's indifferent. And we just need to watch the news, and we get a bit of all of that. Sometimes good. It's not a complete write-off. Sometimes good. Sometimes bad. Sometimes it's indifferent. And so on the one side, we can say that's a way to live. But on the other side, there is God's way. And I think sometimes in living our way, sometimes it's almost as if we touch some of God's way of living. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's indifferent. So in terms of God's way on the other side, what have I said? Well, it's always good. God's way is always good. It's always just. and it's always loving. So God's way is never indifferent, it's never bad, it is always good, always just, and always loving. Now, I've highlighted, you may see in red, this just, always just. The reality is we could equally translate this word, righteousness, as justice. We could say, for in the gospel, a justice or a justiceness from God is revealed. A justice that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the just will live by faith. So I've highlighted this word, just. But to put it as I put it, there is our way. Sometimes the way we live is good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's different. We're not a complete write-off. I know the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that is true. But from time to time, there are moments of beauty and wonder and awe in our world that we create and we experience and so on. But there is God's way. And God's way is always good, it's always just, it's always loving. And God's way to live is righteous. God's way of living is righteous. The way God encourages us to live is to live a righteous life. It is a life that is always good, always just, and always loving. So this righteousness, God's way of living in the gospel, is revealed. That's essentially what the Apostle Paul is saying. For in the gospel, God's way of living is revealed to us. You know, just to expand on what I've said just a moment ago, it's about goodness, it's about love, it's about justice and mercy and forgiveness. And kindness, and generosity, and blessing. All of these things are bound up in God's way of living, as opposed, in a general sense, to our way of living. In the gospel, a new way of living is revealed. It is God's way of living. It is always loving, always kind, always just, always good. And the Apostle Paul rejoices because he says, in this good news about Jesus, a new way of life is revealed that you and I can tap into. We can walk in this way. We don't need to walk in our way any longer. We don't have to be sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes indifferent. There is this new way of living. There is this righteousness that is revealed to us. And we can live in this righteousness, in this way of living. And of course, he repeats his words. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. God's way of living, his righteousness, can be lived by us. Now, slight tangent. I know that I think it's sometimes been said that righteousness is a gift from God that is given to us. So, ordinarily I walk an unrighteous life. And then as I come to faith, God gifts me righteousness. And he declares me righteous. I've got all sorts of problems with that. One of the problems is this. If I could give you a gift of love, don't know how that would feel for you, but if I could give you a gift of love, it might feel warm and wonderful for a moment. But a gift of love, if it isn't enacted, if it isn't lived out, then I feel as though a gift of love is a bit like good fruit. And what happens to good fruit if you just leave it on the side and you don't eat it? What happens? It goes bad. It just goes off and it begins to smell. And we think, now that was good. It's beautiful melon or pineapple or whatever it was, but it's gone off. And God could give us a gift of love. But the whole point about receiving this gift of love is not that we just say, great, I've got it now, I possess it. I need to live that love. In the same way, if it is true that God gifts us righteousness, he does so only that we begin to live righteous lives. If it is true that God gives us a gift and says, this is the way to live, here it is. It is not something we just go and possess and go, great, I've got it, you know, hurrah. No, it is something we're given so that we can begin to live loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, generous, just lives. Now, God's way of living, this righteousness, can be lived by us. How can we begin to live by this life, this righteous life? And the Apostle Paul says this, in the gospel, a righteousness, this way of living from God has been revealed, this way of living that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous or the just, or those who've grabbed hold of God's way of living, will live by faith. And so we can live this life, but we can only do so by faith. And that is by trusting in God. We can only do so by walking the way of Jesus. Walking the way of Jesus day by day by day. For the Apostle Paul, he is rejoicing and celebrating as he sends this letter because he wants to talk about this good news about Jesus. Because in this good news, there is this righteousness, this new way of living that you and I can live in. It's not like the indifference of the old way. It's a new way. It's God's way. But how do we live it? It is just by every day trusting in God. Sometimes we talk about discipleship. Discipleship is about following and learning and obeying. Jesus calls us to discipleship, not simply to a single moment in time when we decide to be a Christian or decide to be a disciple, but we are called to live our whole lives, a journey of faith, day after day after day. And every day, whether we think it or feel it, every day we are trusting. I trust in God that I walk the right way. I trust in God that I walk the right way. I trust in God for everything I face today. Every day, this trust, this faith in God. And every day, we can walk in this new way of living, God's way of living. We can walk in this righteousness. Not something that we are given to possess, but something we are given to live. And so we began with verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to keep it hidden. Whatever you say about the death of Jesus, all that in a sense is true. But I see it from the other side. I'm not ashamed because God has vindicated this Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God, the abundance of the love of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, both for Jew and Gentile, he says, for in the gospel, this new way of living is revealed. For the salvation of everyone who believes. The Apostle Paul celebrates, because in the gospel, there's this salvation that you and I can be saved. Of course, another good question we can ask is, where is this salvation? How do we grab hold of this salvation? How can I be saved? Remember, years and years ago, an old preacher asking this question. When were you saved? And he said, I was saved. I am being saved every day. And I trust I will be saved one day. Not just a moment in time, but almost a continual. I was, I am being, and I will be. This salvation is found in righteousness. This salvation is found in walking the way of God. At some point, I guess for almost all of us, if not all of us, we've made a decision. I am going to walk the way of God. I'm going to follow after Jesus. I'm going to begin walking in this righteousness. We probably didn't put it in those terms, but I'm going to begin that journey. And that decision, for many of us, is absolutely crucial to make a decision. I know we've made a decision. But there's no point if we've made the decision one day to turn away the next day. What counts is I made the decision on May the 31st, 2002 or something. And I am walking in it the next day and the next day and the next day. And this salvation doesn't reside just in the decision, but in the decision every day, every day, every day. So this salvation that the Apostle Paul rejoices in is found in walking the way of God. It is found in this righteousness. It is found in following Jesus and daily trusting in God. That's what the Apostle Paul gets so excited about. That is why he has this extraordinary confidence in God and in what God has done in the Lord Jesus. I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God. This amazing love, this abundant love is right here in the news about Jesus. And it can save you if you believe. It can save you if you trust. If you walk in it day after day after day after day. This righteousness, this way of living. If you walk in it day after day, it will save you. And this is the good news that God gives to us in the Lord Jesus. We're going to pause at just at this point, and we're going to pray. Gracious Father, thank you for the good news concerning Jesus. Father, thank you that this good news concerning Jesus has an extraordinary power. It's a mysterious power. It's a wonderful power. But Father, thank you, because our experience has told us, and we can tell so many stories, about how we have trusted you, Father. We have trusted you, and we have found that you, day after day, you save us. You save us from sin. You save us from the consequences of our sins. And you help us to walk in righteousness. You help us to walk in the way of God, in love and joy and peace and justice and mercy and forgiveness. Day after day, Father, thank you. Thank you that you haven't just saved us once, but you are saving us day after day. We are living in our salvation. Gracious Father, we commit ourselves afresh to walk in your footsteps, to follow you, to know your blessing, your guidance, and your direction, and to experience your love day after day. that we might share your love with others. Father, we give our thanks in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.